Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Stuff. But yeah, I might wind up editing that out. It's a little aggressive compared to your guys.
Leave that part in and then just bleep the whole story
for like 2 minutes. Hey everybody, how's it going? My name is Drew Johnson. This is the Brews and Beards podcast. The Brews and Beards podcast, episode 27 of season 2, the Glenn Murray episode. Drinkable podcast you can taste, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins Diehards and such. We're also sponsored by Save More Spirits and DraftKings. I'm here with Cam Hasbrook. Finally back, and we're kind of here with Chris. Had a rough night last night.
Yeah, I'm playing hurt. You might be able to hear it, but you know, it's a team
sounds
game.
Like you just sometimes smoked a pack of cigarettes.
You gotta get to the dirty areas, and you know, it's a long season. Everyone comes up with injuries sometimes, so you know, you gotta fight through it, and here we are.
Cam, I believe we have some words from a certain someone.
Yes, the words from our sponsor, Save More Spirits. Check them out for all of your beer, wine, and liquor needs. They have all of the macro brews, every single one of them, as well as a healthy.
Just flush with macro brews.
It's like, well, you look left, macro brews. You look right, more macro brews. You know what else you can find if you look center ahead? A healthy offering of local beers and craft beers from all over. Where, you ask? Well, craft beers from all over, but if you want to buy them, you got to go to Somerville, Medford, Cambridge, or Malden. But actually, you don't have to go there. You can also check them out online at SaveMoreSpirits.com. That's Save More without an E on either of those bad boys. SaveMoreSpirits.com. Online ordering also available at Minibar and Drizzly. Get this free delivery on your first order.
What?
With Drizzly. With the promo code Brews and Bruins. That's Brews.
Honestly,
and
Bruins. I'm not even sure if Drizzly cares. Like, you might be able to just reuse that.
Just sure. All right. You keep doing it. Just keep ordering beer. I don't know. Tell us if it works. We'll tell you everyone else if you do. I don't know. Yeah. Check it out.
I did it again. This episode is also sponsored by DraftKings. You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf and hockey, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front-row seat to all the action. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's able to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Boys, we have quite the episode here. Oh, do we have beers to introduce? Wow.
I was wondering if you were just going to skip right by it. I am not drinking a beer. I am like swimming in water, basically. I feel like if I'm not constantly drinking water at this point, I'm gonna like turn to ash and float away like an Infinity Wars.
Swimming or drowning in water, Chris.
Yeah,
metaphorically more.
Trying to make sure I'm fully aggressively hydrated.
All right, Cam, what are you drinking?
Well, first of all, I am drinking a Definitive Brewing Company Definitive Ale. It's just an IPA from.
Would you say that's their definitive beer?
Hmm. Definitively, yeah. It is a pretty good IPA. I talked about Definitive a lot on the podcast the last couple weeks. Very good brewery up here. And I'm not sure how far they reach out beyond Maine. I know they're outside of just Portland, but I'm not sure. Like, they reach into other areas of New England, so maybe keep an eye out there. Or we can talk to our guy Kenny at Savemore and maybe send some down there or something. But regardless... very good beer. It's got a nice, it's like the perfect color, I think, for a beer. It's got like a nice, like the golden yellowy glow to it and a nice, like, haziness on the inside. Enough that you can sort of see through a little bit, but it still has that, like, milkiness to it. I really appreciate that in the aesthetic, you know?
Throw that bad boy, like, on the porch, like, in the sun. Take a good Instagram picture of it.
Yeah. I'm thinking like right, like overlooking a golf course, you know,
the 18th
fairway. You're on the 19th hole out there. It's going to be good stuff.
Or if you're like out skiing, like right outside the lodge, you know?
Yeah, it's the good stuff. Drinkability, pretty good for an IPA. Not too hoppy, little on the citrusy side. Probably a 21, definitely good for an IPA. Taste, definitely up there. A tasteable beer for sure. And a good taste at that. I'll give it probably a 32 on taste.
Hell yeah.
Mm. And in honor, since Chris is not drinking, I thought I'd do him a favor and double fist so we're still consuming as much alcohol.
Fuck yeah.
So I'm also drinking a screwdriver. Keep it on the yellow theme here. I also have this new Bees sweatshirt I got. Shout out 47. Shout out Jealous Bells, great friend of the pod, Jess Bell Mosto, for pretty much holding a gun to my head and forcing me to spend money by sending us that throwback special. That
yeah, I felt pretty attacked.
Because I'll take a quick look at the Bruins stuff I said, and all of a sudden my wallet was empty. So shout out, Jess.
I knew the dangers of clicking that link, so I did not do it.
I knew the dangers, and I forged full speed ahead. I was like, this is 100% going to happen right now. So shout out, Jess.
I myself have from Exhibit A Brewing Company, Just a Kitten, New England IPA, brewed with Citra, Mosaic,
hopefully not kitten
hops. But it does say on the can, all cats were kittens once. For this beer, we are letting our inner kitten meow. It's a little bit feisty and a little bit playful. Never lose your inner kitten.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, me neither, but, you know, we're going to just, like Cam, forge ahead. So, yeah, it's definitely drinkable. It's a nice little 4.5%, I believe. God damn it. Don't quote me on that. Oh, 5%. There we go. It's a 5%. So, yeah, pretty drinkable. It definitely feels a bit light. So, yeah, drinkability, I'm going to go with a 33. Rest in peace, Char. He's not dead. He's not dead. Just
not yet.
Jesus. Sounds like Chris is like plotting his death.
No, I'm just feeling real dark today. I don't know what it is. We're all on our way.
Taste. You could definitely taste it. It says it's brewed with Citra, Mosaic, Vic, Secret Hops, all those things. You can taste them. So I'm going to go whatever they are. I'm sure you can taste them. So, yeah, I'm going to go 33 also with taste. Hell yeah. All right. So last night being Friday night, yeah, really, really good
Friday
game.
Night.
Five.
Yeah, I took too many shots.
Yeah. All right. It was on March 5th. This game took place. Brandon Carlo was hit by Wilson. It was a nice 5-1 win, but that was the big story of the game. Wilson is currently, tonight or probably right now on a Zoom call with the Department of Player Safety. to hear.
So,
his
ladies
face.
And gentlemen, give it up for Tom Wilson. Welcome to the show.
We are
conducting his player safety call. Tom, why are you such a piece of shit?
We're judge, jury, and executioner.
I think that should be the thing. Like, you have to go on the like. Yeah, like if you hit somebody illegally on some team, like you have to go on their THPN podcast and like get roasted.
I think we're working on that with Bettman right now. Actually, I think.
Yeah, I do remember Isha saying, you know, we were in talks with Bettman about some things. So yeah. maybe this is it.
But yeah. So what are your guys' thoughts on the hit? There's a little bit of controversy there, I think mainly stemming from Caps fans thinking it was legal, though there actually have been some media personnel that have also said it was borderline and think it was a clean hit. What are your guys' thoughts? If you can put your Bruins bias aside.
Anytime there's an illegal hit like this where someone is injured horribly and it's like obviously illegal, you get the like just bad takes come flowing out. Yeah, the Steve Levy's of the world, and then like the man, just whatever random ass dude who writes for the New York Post or whoever is writing for those like way up north Canadian newspapers comes out with like hockey is hockey. What, you're trying to get hits out of the game now? Like that's what the liberals want. I mean, you can still have hitting in hockey without having dangerous predatory hitting in hockey, and trash like this has to be punished pretty extensively.
Yeah.
Yeah, going off of that, Chris, I think a lot of the people who are upset about a potential suspension are probably largely overlapping in the Venn diagram of people who are upset that Mr. Potato Head is now a gender-neutral Potato Head.
And see, that's not even the case. They just renamed the brand Potato Head because they have all sorts of Potato Heads.
Yeah. Anyway, the American way of life is a threat, threatened under siege. I actually didn't watch the game last night. I was a little busy and stuff. So I was keeping up with it on Twitter and with you guys. And I had seen everybody obviously explode talking about it. And I tried to like kind of put it aside and be like, all right, I'm not caught up in the emotion of the game right now like everybody else is. I'll take a look at it in a little while. I have a pretty cool head. We'll see. Just try to analyze from a hockey.
You do have a cool head, Cam.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's got a nice little round shape to it.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's called having large cheeks, like Charlie McAvoy.
Ooh,
one of many things we have in common. anyway, I did approach it with a somewhat cool head, and immediately, it's a dirty hit. I think the people who are arguing otherwise just have a pretty lack of understanding of the rule, or at least that's what they claim. It doesn't matter if Tom Wilson clipped a piece of Brandon Carlo's arm on the way to smashing his head into the boards.
Yeah, let's define principal point of contact versus first point of contact.
Yeah,
two different
it's the
things.
Primary point of contact where the hit is being placed. It's
principal
kind of like tripping in the NHL. It's like tripping in the NHL. It's not legal if you hit the puck first and still take out the guy's leg. If the primary point of contact is the legs, it's a tripping penalty. And I think a lot of people have an understanding that, oh, well, he hit part of Carlo's arm first, so that's the primary point of contact.
See,
that's not how the rule
that's
works.
That's this thing I don't understand, too, because like the arm's in front of his head. So if you're hitting his arm, you're hitting at head level, and that's not legal. Like if you go lower, you hit his ribs or something, and he breaks a rib, it's kind of like, okay, maybe that was charging. And then you're looking at that from that point of view. But this is, and I think the big thing with it too was that Frederick literally just pissed him off like 15 seconds before the hit. And Frederick skated off to the bench to end his shift. And then Wilson was, I think he just lost his head, to be honest. I think he was just in rage mode and decided to take it out on the next guy with the puck. And unfortunately, that was Carlo.
He
vulnerable
lost his
in the
head
corner.
And he decided to try to remove somebody else's and use it as his own.
And it's just, I tweeted this too, because, you know, obviously Brad Marchand gets brought up into this. My point of view is that I love Marchand's game because he's chippy and all the, you know, after the whistle and the scrums chirping, all that. But I won't defend the slew foots and I won't defend the headshots he's made. And I'm sure Cavs fans feel the same way about Tom Wilson. Like, he is one of those guys that's going to stick up for his teammates. He's going to cause a little bit of trouble after the whistle, and that's all fine. But I don't see how you defend these dirty hits, clearly dirty hits. And he has a history of it too. It isn't like this is some guy's whose first dirty play that's looking being looked at by the league. Like, he has a reputation. And
yeah, I mean, I really am of the mindset that, like, it really shouldn't matter who's making a play or in what circumstances a play is being made. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day that, like, a penalty is a penalty. And I think there's way too much of an effort in the league to, like, make it even. And especially, you know, you see it more come, like, playoff time where it's, like, you got to keep the penalties at 4-4 or else, like, the world's going to explode. And, like, I don't know what it was like last night, if the, you know what I mean, if the Caps had been penalized more prior to that or anything like that, if it was just one of those things where they felt like they were putting the whistle away to keep the game even or what. But how that game or how that play happens, and obviously you can see the refs got a view of it, and just to not make a call there is brutal. And I don't know. I know the Nesson broadcast, I heard talking a little bit about, like, what would you, I guess I ask you guys if you would support this, like, a rule change where, as a referee, you can go in and watch that play afterward, say in the intermission, and say, all right, we fucked that up, and come out and assess a penalty. Or so, can you review, you know what I mean, that sort of thing.
So the rule is that you can call the five, review, and then rescind it and knock it down to a two.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way they should have gone, because I don't even see, like, even if it's not a headshot, how that's not a charge. So give them five for charging, review it, and if they felt it wasn't like that bad, give them the two for charging, nothing with the headshot. You know, it gives them that chance. And that's the kind of stuff that started in college hockey, like, years ago. That's what they do. They'd review every major, every 5-minute major they gave, they review. I think there needs to be more there where they can review that kind of thing. Cause I'm like, in the NFL, I'm not super for reviewing for penalties or anything like that. And same with the NHL. But when it comes to something like that, where it's a dangerous hit, clearly, like, the refs talked about it, so they were borderline. They should have a safety net of, okay, we're going to call it, and then we'll review.
Yeah. There's a difference between somebody getting tripped on a 2-on-1 and somebody getting smoked in the head like that. And one, you know what I mean? Like, if it's something like that where it can potentially damage someone's career, there should be some way to hold somebody accountable, even if the ref doesn't see it or something. I'm not sure what the excuse was here, because it looked like it was in pretty fucking plain view, but there should be some other way to go double check on something like that. Because I get maybe you're hesitant to call, you know, things happen quick out there, and obviously we have the bird's eye view watching on TV and stuff, and the benefit of replays and that sort of thing. Like, I'll even admit, like, the first time I saw it from, granted, a bird's eye view, like, I saw the hit and I was like, all right, that looked pretty bad, but let's get another look. You know what I mean? You always have to kind of, not always, but usually you have to look again at that. And it was what I suspected. It was a dirty hit, but it helps to have the benefit of slowing it down and getting a second look and maybe an angle, you know, where, you know, the player blocking you or something like that. It feels like, in the interest of player safety, that is something that should be implemented, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
I want to talk too about the Bruins' response, because I think it was not just in the game, but I don't want to say a turning point in the season, because they've been playing well, but I think it's going to be a defining game this season when you look down the road, because they really banded together, not only in the sense that we're going to go out and finish every check, but on the scoreboard too. They just took full control of that game, and you could tell there was the mentality that we're doing this for Carlo. And I think that's fucking awesome.
I thought the Bergeron goal, the tic-tac-toe, was like an especial fuck you goal. That was the vibe that I got. That was like and the way they celebrated, and just like almost like I'm probably like reading too far into it, but the way like Marchand dropped it down to Pastrnak at the goal line, and the way Pastrnak just tapped it back up, it almost felt like, yeah, you thought I was going to shoot, bitch. And then, like, obviously Bergeron's right in the slot with an empty net. It just felt like the crispness of the 1-2-3. It was like everybody was locked in. It was like, we're not fucking missing this. Like, we see what you're doing. Like, fuck you guys. I don't know. That's the way I felt. And granted, I had known what was going to happen because I was watching a highlight reel, so I was just like, pound it in, you know what I mean? But It felt like a fuck you goal.
I mean, just getting 3 out of 4 points against your main rival this year. Like, all the games have been pretty chippy, like, even without that Carlo hit. Love the response from Jared Tenorti. Like, he's the big dude on the defense now. Like, he knows, like, that's going to be his role. Yeah, the pretty good bout by that guy.
He was throwing some. I mean, they both were, but I was impressed with.
Both
Tom
guys,
Wilson, but he can throw him. But
yeah,
you know,
both guys walked away leaking. So
cheers to him for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's also kind of example number one, exhibit A, if you will.
Yeah.
Shouts to Drew's beer. of why fighting in hockey still has its place. The refs didn't do their job there. I mean, even if Wilson had gotten the 5 minutes, if he didn't get the misconduct and sent home, it was probably still going to happen. But I mean, that's part of policing the game. Like, it's a dangerous game. Dudes take things into their own hands on the ice with dangerous hits like that. Then I mean, you're going to face the consequences for it. And yeah, it's a weird thing that has to exist in this sport, but I think it's, you know, it's there. And I think that's the reason why.
I think, Tenorti. Well, first of all, Tenorti, I'm going Tin Man. The Bruins went Tinner. I think, you know, yours is a lot soon for Nordy. Yeah. I think Tin Man, because that dude drove 17 hours down the yellow brick road and found his heart in Boston. I think
and
that's just
to beat the fucking pulp out of somebody. He had the pride exactly. of the lion, or whoever the fuck it is. It's like,
I think it's courage. Tin Man, come on, we gotta get that going. Trent Frederick, Tin Man, the Fulcrum.
The Tin Man would be the only one that is kind of fitting, actually.
Or Fulcrum. And he's huge. He's tall as fuck. Like,
we got Big Fudge. Yeah,
Fudge. Big Fudge. We got Krejci doesn't even have one. We just build a church.
On this rock. The Rock. I don't know. Krejci, The Rock, Johnson. What?
But yeah, I think a really special moment there too, or just throughout the game, was Bergeron being captain. I think we've seen it this season in little ways, and it continued with after scoring a goal, and it was like Bruins scored, I believe it was 3 goals while the Tin Man was in the box.
Yeah,
and he goes over after, you know, fist bumping the bench, and goes over, taps on the glass in front of Tenorti. And I think that's that's awesome, especially as a player. It's your second game. You drop the gloves and you get that kind of admiration, I suppose, from the captain. And in an interview, too, in an intermission, or I think it was post-game, Tenorti said, you know, I'm not looking for that kind of recognition and all that, but I still think, you know, that's like a, I don't know, I don't see that happening, you know, every night. And I think also Bergeron, at the beginning of the second period, had some words for Wilson during the warm-up, and you know, obviously we don't know what's said. Bergeron was actually asked in an interview, said he's not going to talk about it, he's going to leave that between them. And I just saw Ovechkin looking on. I mean, Ovechkin just has this like dead face, like he's not, no emotion, completely emotionless. But like, I don't know, Ovechkin was just like, okay, yeah, he has to have his word with him. And Wilson probably gave Bergeron a little bit of shit. You could see Wilson talking. It's the views from the back of Bergeron. But, you know, taking that time and going over to Wilson saying, hey, obviously we don't know he said this, but we're coming for you. Or basically, like, that's not okay. We're responding, you know. I think that's just fucking awesome. And I'm so happy that Bergeron is the captain now. I mean, I think Char would have done something similar in that case. But, you know, Bergeron's really taking this on. It's almost like, and I feel like we all know it, like we knew for a while he was going to be the next captain, and he's like finally embracing that role. And it's just great.
Yeah. Bergeron's the type of person that is going to be like a leader in the subtle ways. He's going to be much more of a do as I do, not as I, you know what I mean? He's not a preacher. He's a doer. But when it comes to something like that, I mean, yeah, that's an opportunity for him to step up. And, not that he wasn't the type of player to do beforehand. I think he would have done the same thing with the A, but especially now it's kind of on him to do that. And, you know, I think he's happy, more than happy to do that. That's his role. My buddy Ryan, who I want to have on the podcast sometime, texted me last night during this and summed it up pretty well. He just said, Bergeron makes me feel things nobody else does. And I think that's a pretty good like description of just life in general with Patrice Bergeron on your hockey team. But last night especially, it shone for sure.
Yeah. Incident that occurred during that game, kind of an afterthought, was Frederick also fighting Wilson.
You have to love that. I think the best tweet that I saw this week was Steve Dangle saying that Trent Frederick is pretty much like a Bruin created in a lab. And that's so goddamn on brand. And he didn't get the best, like, he didn't get the best out of Wilson in the fight. But you could tell going away that he was just like, motherfucker, I gotta wait again, like, however many weeks to see this bet. Like, usually the way things go. Yeah, usually the way things go with that is the first guy, you know, Tenorti or the Tin Man or whatever the fuck you want to go with.
Tin Man.
He took it on himself to do that, which I think, you know, obviously the right move, especially as a new guy kind of saying, I'm willing to step up for my new teammates and that sort of thing. Usually after that, it's like, all right, we're going to focus back to the hockey now. Now, you know, Trent Frederick's not, fuck that shit. It doesn't count till I get to throw a fucking punch at him.
Guys, don't let me forget to do this, but I just came up with a great idea for a Photoshop. You know, in Harry Potter, when Fred and George wear the, like, wear the sweaters with their initial on it. I want one with that's Trent, Fred, and Eric with TFE.
It's all just him. but yeah, seeing that like smug ass face of his skating away from the fight was just like just certified psychopath, and I absolutely love him already. Like,
see, I'm happy he skated away from the fight because going into it, I was like, Frederick, like, I fucking love you, but you're starting to creep out of your league in terms of people you're gonna fight.
You don't want
to
get like, switched.
Like, yeah. Stick to guys who are like kind of fight sometimes. Don't go after the Tom Wilson on the team. Don't go after the toughest guy on the team. But you know, that's his personality. He's gonna do it. But I was a little afraid. I was like, fuck. I think Tom.
There was a moment where I was watching the replay of the fight, and I just kind of like paused it for a second, just like compared their statures, and I was like, oh, this is definitely a little bit of a reach, literally and figuratively. But I mean, look, he didn't like, again, he didn't beat the shit out of Wilson or anything, but I thought he held his own pretty well. I mean, he didn't look completely out of the league, which is telling against one of the, you know, while still being scummy, I think, I mean, admit that he's one of the scarier guys in the league for that sort of thing. I think that overlaps, of course, but, careful, Freddie, but also good on you for showing up for your teammates for sure.
Yeah, I think from the outside looking in, like, if you're not a fan of either team, you can just say that was a really shitty fight. Like, it was just, like, a very bad hockey fight. Like, that's not going to make it onto any highlight reels or anything.
No.
I feel like any fight that ends with just the two guys kind of losing balance and falling within 10 seconds of it starting is just a bad fight. If a punch doesn't bring someone to the ice, it's not a good fight. And then also a little after note. At one point there was a scrum in the third period. Marchand's in there. I forget who he's fucking yapping to. And he didn't, like, he gave the guy like a shove, and then Chara went wild after him. I don't know. Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah. So I saw Chara, the replay of it, yeah. Chara, I don't know how, like, I'd say he went wild. But he,
no,
he gave
wild,
him a,
but like he gave all him, of a yeah. sudden, like, because Chara was calm, he was there in the scrum, he was, you know, he's there. And then Marchand says something, and then Chara's like, whoa, and like goes after him, you know?
Yeah.
And then Bergeron had to like hold him back to get him off. And I just, it was so weird to see that. Very weird. Because when Chara went into the scrum, my first thought was like, oh, does he know what team he's on? Like what jersey is he going to grab? Because he's so used to grabbing the other teams. Like, is he actually like not going to grab Bruin? And then that happened, and I was like, holy shit, like, Char, are you actually a Capital now? Like, are you kidding me? I thought you were still with us, like, in the heart. You know? Like, come on.
Yeah, I think that's one of those situations where, let's say he gets a hold of Marshawn, he's not going to beat the shit out of him, or he's not going to give him the business like he would to some other people. But yeah. You know, at the end of the day, he's a veteran player and a veteran leader, even still being new to the Caps. He's still a veteran presence on that team. And it's an opportunity for him to kind of step in and dig his way. I mean, again, like, he's still so new to the team that any opportunity like that to kind of impress himself into the team is going to be good. So, again, I don't think he was going to go after Marchand too much, but that's kind of his role. He has to step in and do something about that and protect his new teammates now. And I'm sure Marchand understands that. I don't think there's any hard feelings there either way. But
hey, we hit 900 that's the reality followers. Of it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, shout out.
Mark Summers. I hope it's the Mark Summers from Nickelodeon in my childhood.
Nice tweet.
I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Tin Man's two words, though, is the only thing.
Why would it be two words?
That I when I Googled it for like the character, it's two words.
I like
just stupid. Keep it one. Keep it one. It's better.
Tin Man sounds like a last name. Yeah. Tin Man. Yeah.
No, I like it better.
He's actually
Dr. Rusk. I forgot about that.
He's actually the Tin Woodman.
Yeah, we got. I'm just gonna read off the tweet. Jared Tenorti, the Tin Man. Brandon Carlo, the Fulcrum. Nick Ritchie, Big Fudge. Trent Frederick, Trent Fred Eric. Charlie McAvoy, Chuck Norris. Jake DeBrusk, Dr. Brusk. David Krejci, the rock upon which a church is built. Yeah, that about it. We get by the end of the season, we need one for everybody.
I think I tried to put in lasagna for Jeremy Lauzon, but it was too many characters, and I figured, you know, he's out injured. We can leave that one for a while.
Come back to it. Yeah, that's all right.
You guys have anything else you want to say about hockey? Because we had a couple.
I will say I think you kind of mentioned this earlier and. Again, I guess by the time this comes out, we'll have a little bit more insight. But I really am interested to see how this game kind of affects the next few weeks and stuff. Because, Drew, your point about it being a turning point, I think it definitely could be. I mean, and it could be in two ways. It could be hopefully the Bruins are jazzed up like we saw after that with them just going on a rampage. And hopefully not, shit, that's another piece of our defense that's out. And, I mean, granted, you have Grizzly back now, but losing Carlo could really still create problems. So hopefully it's not a turning point in that sense, but I am interested to see kind of how they respond over the next few weeks. Because you go back any season, I feel like you go back afterward and you're like, in hindsight, there was these couple games that really like changed things going on. And that definitely feels like a candidate to be one this season. So we'll keep an eye on it. But I especially these next couple games that are going to happen this week, I'm really interested to see kind of what the response is from the Bruins and, you know, over the course of a long season, not to say people get complacent or anything like that. I mean, these are still professional athletes and guys like Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand are showing up every day. But something like that can still light a fire under your ass a little bit that other things maybe won't. So I'm interested to see how we respond the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and I think it definitely did bring the team together. Like you could see, like it felt like they were all in sync. Like whenever they had possession, whether it was in the neutral zone, offensive zone, on a breakout, anything.
Yeah. And that's what totally I was saying about that Bergeron goal. Was like it was just it felt like they had seen it beforehand. They were like, all right, Marchand, I'm gonna pass down to Pasta. Pasta's gonna be right there, fake the shot, feed it up to Bergeron. He's gonna be wide open the slot. Like it feels like that was drawn up.
Is it because they almost went with the fourth line that I suggested? They came really close.
Maybe, yeah. That was the right. That's the key. They're getting warmer to it. Yeah. Eventually, peak hockey performance will be found.
We finally have Cassidy's ear. Also, I do want to mention about Cassidy in his post-game press conference. I'm not going to even try to quote because it was a long spiel about the hit, but he was very honest and open, but also like didn't go over. Like he said, he didn't think it was a legal hit. It's going to go on to the NHLPA. You know, we responded. Refs didn't do anything about it. I didn't get an explanation from him. He went like on about it and was very open, but also wasn't like a, oh, fuck that guy. Like that was a dirty hit. He shouldn't be in this league. And I feel like you don't see that amount of transparency while also being super zen from a coach in any sport. Yeah.
By all accounts, Cassidy is a great person. I mean, Connor Ryan, who we've had on here a couple times, good friend of the pod, has continuously spoken to that. Just Cassidy being very transparent, very open with the media, very easy and honest to talk to, which I think goes a long way in something like this, especially when you compare it to the other side and the response that Laviolette gave.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
Fuck that guy. I'm happy we're on the Bruce Cassidy side of things and not the Peter Laviolette side, for sure.
Also, during that, I watched the interview, and Joe Haggerty was the only guy to call Bruce Cassidy Butch during that interview. So, and it made me cringe a little bit. It was almost like, oh, Joe Haggerty's tight with this guy. He calls him by his nickname.
Of course.
And then everyone was like, hi, Bruce.
Bruce. Fish all friends.
Hey, Butchie.
Want a beer?
I saw Brad Marchand talking about the hit as well. Gave some pretty good answers. Like when a guy like that who has a past of some dirty, dangerous hits, like talking about dirty, dangerous hits, like can offer a pretty unique perspective. And he was saying, like, yeah, absolutely. Like I've had some of those. I've been in this situation, and it's been a while, but I mean, those hits don't belong in the game, and it's garbage. I believe he said bullshit hit.
Yeah.
That hit was bullshit.
Yeah. Which was a mid-game interview, right? I think.
Huh?
Was that a mid-game or was that post-game?
I think it might have been mid-game. Yeah.
That was after that was first intermission, but they had to bleep it out, so they waited until halfway through the second to run it.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome. And Jack said that, so I was like, oh my god, he must have been like fucking outrageous. But there was three bleeps. Like, you're telling me like the fucking intern or whatever that's responsible for that can't do that in 5 minutes.
So that's what I was gonna say. Is like, that definitely shouldn't have taken that long, but it's okay. Maybe they wanted something to tease into for the intermission break. I can respect that.
Yeah. Oh, I watched I was gonna take a piss, but I stayed through that ad break so I could hear that. It was disappointed, but we have a couple listener questions, but there's only really one that is good, and they're all non-hockey related, so
send them all over. I don't care.
All right, fine. Rank your favorite artists like Van Gogh, Banksy, or whatever, and why, from Lancey.
Okay, here's my cop-out answer. I don't have enough background in art history to really care too much about older artists. I like going to museums and stuff, and like I enjoy art, but for me the coolest stuff is like if you have really talented friends who do art. Like,
exactly.
I don't understand why people don't just like, here, take all of my money, friends. So I want to fill my apartment, fill my house with like your work. I have some aunts and uncles who are really talented artists, and a lot of friends who are really talented. So that's most of what I put up in my apartment, aside from the things behind me, which are from movies.
Yeah, I was gonna say my good friend does like a lot of really cool art, and it's super trippy, and I'm super into that trippy shit. So yeah, I love it. I was like, yeah, I don't know enough about art history either. Pretty sure I took an art history course at some point in high school, which is the equivalent to, I don't know, a joke when you're in high school and don't really care about the history of art at the time. Yeah, so that's also my answers. Friends.
Yeah, I mean, the two paintings that I have in my apartment are both like from my old lake house that were kind of like went through our family and such. So we're from family friends. So that's kind of same here. But I don't know. I make like Van Gogh jokes once in a while because it's an easy name to make jokes off. So maybe Vinny.
You want a Van Gogh to the Bruins game?
Jesus.
What? What? That's the kind of jokes you make with Van Gogh. They're really fucking dumb.
Oh, it's actually pronounced Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
Jared Van Gogh. What you got, Drew?
So another question from Hockey Trollin' on Twitter, who is a co-host of the Caps Chirps podcast. Or the Cap Chirps? Yeah, Caps Chirp podcast. The official Cap Chirp podcast over on THPN. So, he asked, you see Raised by Wolves yet? And I had to Google it, so obviously I didn't.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I don't know what it is, but I assume it's a show.
It's a show, yeah. Apparently. Yeah. I thought it was a movie, but it's a show. It's like a sci-fi like a one, too.
Isn't that the premise of like a famous book?
I don't know. All I could think of,
there's definitely like a Jules Verne book about being raised by wolves.
Yeah, right. I'm not.
All
crazy.
I could think Hold of on. Was dancing, Dancing with Wolves,
or like Jack London or something like that. That'd be Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves. Yeah, it's a long ass movie. Really good. I haven't seen it in like 15 years. I don't even know if I fully understood the movie because I would have been 8 if that's correct. If that math is real, so. Actually, no, wait. I say 13. Damn it. I'm 24. I'm an old man now.
Damn it.
I know my shit.
Fuck.
I've seen shit. Okay. I guess that's our answer. I don't know.
No.
This one from Jess was the one that I was going to say. Worst first date experience. The one I have in mind is not really a date, but just first experience with. Yeah, you guys got anything, or should I go?
I feel like you gotta go on based on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I feel like lead off.
I don't want it because mine's pretty. So I don't want to go with that and have you guys cop out.
All right, I'll start. I've never really had like a bad first date, but I did get stood up one time.
Sorry about that, Chris. Again, I told you I had plans. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't you.
But it was one of those weird things where like, it was at a bar and good friends with the bartender. The bartender was like, "Hey, that girl over there also got stood up. You guys should hang out." And I hung out with her. Had a great time. Yeah, we're still friends. It's cool.
Nice. So you know what I mean? It was like oddly serendipitous, I guess, in a weird way. Silver lining, maybe it's better way to go about it.
Cam, you go.
Don't
be afraid.
I don't have any like really bad like first date experiences. I will say, I went ice skating with my ex girlfriend on like a group date for like our first date, and I did sort of drop her once when it worked. It was like one of those like, hey, we're gonna get you going really fast. I was going with a couple guys I played hockey with, and it was like, we'll get you going really fast, and then kind of forgot that wasn't the problem. It was the slowing down part that was the problem. I kind of forgot that normal people don't know how to stop in hockey skates. So upon going very fast, I was like, oh, good job, she did it, and I stopped and forgot that she didn't know how to stop. So it was kind of a tough situation there, but it's not like it ruined the, you know, it was a fine time still. So
because of it.
I want to change my answer now because I thought I was gonna get. All right, fine. I'll fucking say.
Chris
it
anyway. And I are classy broads over here, man. I don't know.
Mom, if you're listening, you can skip this part of the podcast.
Oh no.
Also, I feel like. Yeah. Anyway, when I was at college,
this is gonna be a cold open right here. This is gonna be a cold open. All right. Please, sorry, Drew. Go ahead.
When I was at Quinnipiac, you know, I was drunk as Quinnipiac students normally are, and
stuff.
But yeah, I might wind up editing that out. It's a little aggressive compared to your guys.
Leave that part in and then bleep the whole story
for like 2 minutes.
That's fun.
I think everyone. We'd cause like car accidents if we did that, if we left a bleep for that
one. Yeah. Oh, speaking of car accidents, never really good. Real quick, want to send some thoughts out to my boy Krinsky. Was involved in a kind of serious one earlier. Luckily, he's okay. But yeah, I guess he was driving. He's from Long Island. He's down there right now and was just driving down through an intersection, and somebody tried to like sneak in a turn before he got through it and just hit him. So his car's totaled. It's pretty fucked up. He sent me some pictures, but he's okay. He said he probably sprained or tore his wrist or something, but he was like, all things considered, it could have been a lot worse. So hopefully you're doing all right, buddy.
So, yeah. Good to hear he's okay.
I was outside, I'd pour some.
Yeah, it's all right. No, I mean, he's okay. I mean, he's still a Rangers fan, so there's still some problems going on there. I don't think they can solve
why,
that.
Why but... even bring up that story? Yeah. Like, fuck him. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to reach across the aisle here. Bruins and Bruins. yeah. But... So it was random.
Oh, also, we have we had another question.
just bringing it up now.
Actually, two and two different replies.
Oh, wow.
So, the genuine draft, which is at genuine draft underscore SF, stands for San Fran. They said East meets West. Talk about New England and the Bay Area. Were talk about how
that
New
wasn't
England
a question.
The Bay Area,
I was never those sports to regions with us.
To each win six titles from the four major sports in one decade. So Eats meets West. What do you guys think of Eats East meets West?
Eats meets West.
Eats
Arby's.
Eats meets East and West.
Talk about you know, me eating a sandwich
in the West
in San Diego. Yeah, that's
San Diego.
I mean, yeah, we'll go vet them for possible collaboration. And
well, yeah,
back.
that was their next question. They said our host at. Rot Hugs and Harmony, or is it Roth Uggs and Harmony? I don't know. You be the judge.
It's I think it's Roth Uggs and Harmony.
I like Rot
based
Uggs.
On Bone Thugs and Harmony.
I like Rot Hugs and Harmony. I like that.
I like how Drew came up with two answers.
What
and
if
them were right?
What if we just have this person on the podcast and just only roast them? we have Rot Hugs and Harmony on.
What kind of name is that, man? Rot Hugs and Harmony. yeah, but apparently that dude was born and played hockey in Boston. So collab sometime. Yeah, we'll vet the fuck out of you.
Yeah, we got to be a little
Chris
careful about
people.
Just randomly accepting requests to collab from people we don't know.
Chris knows some people, being military,
being
government,
space astronaut.
Yeah, I get where this is going.
Yeah, we're gonna send the pain.
I think I know more animal vets, like veterinarians, than I do veterans, because my roommate works at SeaWorld with.
Oh, that wasn't even my
veterinarians.
That wasn't even the joke about veterans. That wasn't my thing. I was just like, you have connections in the government that will vet them for us. I didn't mean like military veterans, but wow.
Hey, we're
a lot of options for that word.
That's awesome.
A lot of plays.
Shouts to all my friends who are veterinarians.
And all the vets. Let's just all of them. Anybody. Anybody's name who starts with V. Victor.
Sure.
I don't fucking know.
Veronica.
Victoria. Yeah, all you. Yeah.
Shane Victorino.
Shane Victorino. Sure. Mostly him. Fly
James
Hawaiian.
Van Riemsdyk?
No.
Nah.
Yeah. Tom Wilson. Anyway.
Fuck that guy.
We need a nickname for Tom Wilson. But it can't just be like fuckface or anything. Like, it has to be creative.
It can't be shitbag. Come up with a Tom Wilson nickname and send it to us on Twitter at Brews and Bruins.
Womp Tilson.
Womp. Womp Tilson. Womp
Tilson. Anyway, I think that's about it. We got a. It's a little bit shorter episode this week.
Good.
Yeah, Chris needed that.
You're welcome, everyone.
It's also because of Chris.
Sorry, I mustered all the talking I could.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
I didn't give anybody the ASMR, though.
I'm just sad your drunken night wasn't tonight on the podcast.
Yeah, I should be saving myself for marriage here.
Yeah, I was just like, where is this going, Chris?
yeah, I have my talked from 4 p.m. to 2 in the morning on Zoom calls, sexy voice right now.
Sounds pretty hot. I might break up with my girlfriend. Ooh. Here we go.
Oh, San Diego, here we come.
It for sure sounds like I smoked a pack of cigarettes. And it's going to get worse tonight because we're having some vaccinated friends over for a fire in the backyard in a half hour. And
nice.
Then it's
I look
gonna
forward to, like you're just going to like drop dead in front of the fire based on your demeanor right now. Though you just woke up from a nap too.
I did, and I feel terrible. Don't take naps, people. They're bad.
They really don't. They don't ever help.
Scientifically, if you take a 45-minute nap, you'll actually wake up rested, and you didn't hit deep enough sleep that you're...
Yeah, like, see, that's fine in, like, scientific studies, but in practice, like if
Chris
I,
doesn't believe in science.
If I take naps, yeah, I'm notoriously the anti-science person on this podcast. yeah, that doesn't work for me. Any length of nap, I wake up feeling worse, and waking up in the morning, I wake up pretty early, but I'm definitely not a morning person. So, like waking up multiple times in a day, just like fuck that. I would rather just limit it to one time. Zero if possible.
Chris, let me tell you, buddy, I've never appreciated that sentiment more than the last week. Oh, yeah, waking up twice in a day or night and day.
Yeah, man, best of luck on this coming month, and I really hope that you get your regular schedule back as you've been told.
Yeah, I wish more so for me than for you.
I want my weekends back. So
tell me about it. I want my weekends gone, which is the ironic part, but sorry. I want my weekends back. Good old Monday, Tuesday, baby. Let's go.
Hell yeah. Give us Monday recordings again, cowards.
Cowards. All right. Let's
sing out here.
Singing out. What are you singing?
So I tried to look
by your man. What?
You can just have all that. I was gonna say I was looking up hungover songs for Chris, and then it suggested the Hangover soundtrack. So I've been looking through the soundtrack of the movie The Hangover, and I found Candy Shop by 50 Cent.
So. Whoa.
Yeah, I think the only song I remember from that soundtrack is Joker and the Thief by Wolf Mothers on that one.
That's a great song.
I'm not seeing it.
I'm pretty sure that was in the MLB.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is Joker and the Thief.
07 soundtrack or something like that.
It's the song that plays when they're like taking down the blackjack table at the end.
Yeah, absolute banger. I gotta see that.
The skates was playing over. The field of the clover.
I'm sorry, man.